Let's seek God's help, shall we, before we consider his word, because we're looking into deep and mighty things and we need a deep and mighty God's assistance. Let's pray. Tell me of earth no longer, tell me of earth no more, I want the mighty love of Jesus to fill my heart just now. Lord, in your grace and mercy, come and assist us. Show us ourselves, show us yourself, and cause us to run to you in faith. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, today we run out of desperate questions. We finish with Job's desperate questions. Desperation comes to an end today. Our thoughts are going to concentrate around this expression of Job's increased, greatly heightened discovery of God. As a child of God, you always did know God, but when you come through storms and trials, in whatever shape or form they take, sometimes they're obvious and not so obvious, sometimes they're short and extreme, sometimes they are long and perhaps a little lower key, but nonetheless, no less trying. But when you come to the end of it, you discover a deeper, more intimate and loving and gracious relationship with the Lord God. You feel him and his presence within. And we read these lovely words in Job 45, the word of God in Job 45, not Psalm 45, anyway. I think I'll be tired of this year. Job 45, 42, 45. I've got a sermon here somewhere. I've only had one cup of coffee, so that means only one brain cell is fired up, one is still working. Job 42 verse 5. We're near the end of the matter now, and Job says this, and we're going to see why he says this in a minute. I had only heard about you before, but now I have seen you with my own eyes. And when God is dealing with you, and he has dealt with you, as he will continue to deal with you if you are his child, and you sense it and you know it, if you are of a humble, submissive spirit, as any self-respecting born-again believer should be, this will be the sentiment of your heart in one way, shape or form, almost continuously. But now I know. Now I have seen you. But now. It's incredible that Job's faith was able to hang in there through all that he's been through. He's lost his family, his home. He's lost all his possessions. He's lost his bank account. He's lost his standing in society. Well, even his wife wished him dead. Great helpmate she was. But you see, as a child of God, only a person with such real faith, a genuine faith deep within their hearts, can have anything to say or relate to God, even if you are tossed about like poor Job is. And you've all been tossed about at some time or another, have you not? You've all had your perplexities, your problems and your issues. I know that. You know that. I've shared it and dealt with it at various times. I've talked to you. We've had phone calls together, some pleasant, some upsetting. But God is doing a work in all of our hearts and lives, is he not? I trust so. And there may be things we've said and done which we now regret, but God is prepared to let that go, as I've been prepared to let it go. because we remember. In all our interactions with each other and with humanity generally, if it comes to that, we know that the grace of God has been shown to us. Therefore, I need to express good grace too. Only real faith of a child of God can see you through what Job has been through, and whatever it is you're going through, and whatever changes you're having to experience. Only a genuine, real faith is going to do that. And in spite of differing opinions, that's why so many come and leave, because they do not want this kind of Christianity. The real thing causes too many to recoil and find something a bit more pleasing and softer. But if you want to be an ugly, hard-nosed, gritty believer, and I say ugly in the beautifully gracious sense of the word, a real grunger, then you will come to God and you will ask Him to change you. No medicine is going to taste pleasant, but my word, will it make a big difference when you've had it. Can you, like Job, even though you may be tossed about and going through so many things, can you say, are you beginning to be able to say, but now I've seen you, now I am seeing you, now I am sensing you and feeling you, and you're dealing with me in my heart and life. I could have been anywhere. I could have been anything. I could have been one of the indifferent vast masses. I could be one of the vociferous celebrity atheists, full of themselves. I could have been a Hindu, dunking myself in the river Ganges, thinking it's going to make me holy. I could have been a Buddhist, bowing down to a pot-bellied model. I could have been a Muslim, bowing and scraping. I could have been anywhere, anything, but in your grace and mercy, I can say now, but now I have seen you. Never mind all the other stuff, I have seen you. In here, in my heart, deep within, and you have touched me, and I have felt your touch. Only a real believer, only a believer like Job, in spite of all the intensity, can say that. He says, in the midst of all his goings on, but as for me, this is in Job 19, I know that my Redeemer lives, and he will stand upon the earth at last, and after my body has decayed, yet in my body I will see God. That's resurrection theology. I will see him for myself. Yes, I will see him with my own eyes. I am overwhelmed at the thought. Are you overwhelmed at the thought of seeing God and meeting him personally? Or you're not sure? If you're not sure, then we need to do something about that, don't we? The Holy Spirit and you. Yes. I had only heard about you before. I had faith, I believed, but it was mostly up here. And, well, all right, to a limited extent, it was in my heart as your child, and I trusted you, but I have had first-hand dealings with you now. And the fact that you are here at all today is witness to the fact that God has had first-hand dealings with you. He has brought you to a Bible-believing, gospel-preaching church. Do you know how rare a commodity that is these days? You are very privileged. I don't say that to boast. God gets all the glory in this. So, we learn that above everything, listen for God. Listen for God. No matter how you're being tossed around or whatever's going on in your life and whatever's going on in the world, oh, I'm not going to say the B word. Whatever's going on, the most important thing is to listen for God. How this nation today needs to understand that they need to be still and know that they are God. Be still and know that I am God. We read in Psalm 46 verse 10, it says, be still and know that I am God. How our nation today needs this. We're running here, we're running there. The world is full of opinions, full of theories. And that's no good. Well, I'm not saying it's no good to have an opinion, but too many opinions are godless opinions. And sad to say, even within the church, too many opinions are godless opinions. Just what that verse is saying, be still and know I'm God, is basically shut up. Shut up. Look at me. Listen to me. Take me in. Be still and know that I'm God. When all is said and done, unless God is speaking, we have nothing. Really. You just have opinions. Shifting opinions. You can go to the British Library. You can go down into the basement vaults archives. And you will see miles and miles of philosophies and theories and opinions and books and do this and do that and this is the answer and that is the answer, and they are all forgotten. No one remembers them. They don't remember the authors, they don't remember the books, they don't remember anything. It's all gone. And all the books and all the opinions that are being thrown around today will likewise be out of print, forgotten, and that will be the end of it. The turning point for Job came in chapter 38. If you'd like to turn to that just for a minute. Job 38. Amidst all these long-winded speeches and opinions, especially from Job's friends, which he was giving, God steps in and says, enough, I've heard enough, enough of this, quite enough claptrap. He addresses Job, but in effect he's speaking to everyone, and incidentally this is an indication of the fact that God addresses everyone, but he speaks through his people, his church. So although he's addressing everyone, he will address his people first. He will come and speak to the world through his gospel, through his church. So in spite of all our scorn, believers and ridicule, the world needs you, they need us, they will hear the gospel through us. He's going to speak to them now, but he's addressing Job. Then the Lord answered Job from a whirlwind. Who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorant words? Brace yourself like a man, or men if you like, because I have some questions for you all. You must answer them. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you know so much. Who determined its dimensions and stretched out the surveying line? Who supports its foundations? And who laid its cornerstone? Where did all this come from? Do you think it's a big bang? Well, brief pause while God splits his side in laughter. How can it be a big bang when they're all held together in precise physics and mathematics and revolve around each other in perfect precision? Do me a favour, don't make me laugh, says God. Where were you when I created all this order and mathematics and physics? Who are you with all your opinions? So above all the voices, above all the noise, we need to listen for God, and that's what this nation needs, and that's what our church needs. Less opinions, more of God, more of scripture, less of sulking. And when God has finished speaking, Job says, we haven't got time to go through him, Job says, but he sits Job down and he's speaking to them all, but he's addressing Job, his servant, out of honour and respect. When he's finished, Job says, I had only heard about you before, 42 verse 5, but now I have seen you with my own eyes, but now I have experienced you. Have you experienced God? No, I mean experienced him. Have you felt the presence deep in your heart, in your mind, in your heart, in your inclinations? But now I know. Can you say, since you've been coming to this church, you can say, yeah, I've heard all the others, I've heard all the opinions, I've heard the politicians, I've heard all the religions, I've heard the other so-called Christians, but now, I've seen, and I know. My word, how you need and how the world needs God's but now. We need God's but now. And God says, and he said it today, he said it then, have you all quite finished? Have you all quite finished? Be still and know that I am God and there is no other. There is no other theory. There is no other opinion. There is no other reality. I am the one who gives you breath and water and keeps the universe in order and stops Earth colliding with the sun and the moon and everything else. I am the one who is holding this all together. Enough. Enough. This is ridiculous. In your sin and rebellion, you are driving yourselves mad and to distraction with your stupidity and your theories. How intense and black and darkening and dulling is sin, that it can't see the creation and the creator before them. That's what sin does to the human heart. It causes the human heart and intellect to defy rationality. Instead of believing in a benevolent, almighty, creator God who holds the universe together, we will believe in ridiculous fairy stories like evolution and Big Bang. Anything we will clutch at, as long as it doesn't involve God. We will not have this man to rule over us, they say, to Jesus Christ. Fools for eternity are fools indeed. But now, okay, I've had my little rant and rave. What about you personally? What about you personally? Do you feel like you've had missed opportunities? We miss opportunities, don't we, sometimes, and we regret them on the face of it anyway. Although if you're a child of God, we must accept that God's going to direct you in his paths anyway, but nonetheless, you may feel that you've missed opportunities. If you'd have taken this turning instead of that, if you'd have made that choice instead of that choice, who knows where you might be today. But we are sad sometimes if we allow ourselves to dwell on it. Missed opportunity. If I'd have known then what I knew now. Reflection is a great thing, isn't it? Regrets, though, often come as a result of missed opportunities. You may feel the opportunity to be right with God and have this personal, meaningful relationship that so many in this congregation have may have passed you by. You've been here every week for months now, years maybe. But have you really surrendered and come into this personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Have you really handed over yourself with all your sin and ugliness to Him? Have you taken on board by faith in your heart and life the Lord Jesus Christ? Did He dwell there? Is He beautifying you? Has He made you holy? Have you missed all this? Have you put it off and put it off? Or have you convinced yourself that you're right in verse comes Christian, end of quote, and that you don't need that? That's for the bloke next door. Look at the state of him. Boy, does he need Christ? Me, I'm fine. That kind of thinking is evidence that you do need to be changed and you do need Christ. But do you regret it now this morning? Do you feel the opportunities have passed you by and think, oh, what have I done? What am I doing? Is there any forgiveness or grace left for me? Well, it may encourage you to know that for people like you, this is why Jesus came, and this is why He keeps coming each Sunday, and He's here this morning. He says so in His Word. Where there are just one or two in my name, I will be there. And He's here this morning, He's brought you here this morning, and He wants to remind you, yet again, in His patience, and His grace, and His mercy, yeah, I know all about your missed opportunities. I know you have regrets, but listen, it is still the day of salvation. The Son of Man, that's Jesus Christ, came to seek and to save the lost. That's why Jesus came, to seek and to save the lost. Okay? He's not come to give us a good time on a Sunday. He's not come to give us a pouty-wousy religious leader. He came to die, to bleed for, to rise again for, redeem and save and get into heaven sinners because they're lost. You are lost if you have not Jesus Christ in your heart and life. He came to save and save, to seek the lost, like you. The opportunity is here again today. The opportunity is here again today. God says, yes, I know all about you. I know. Let's do something about this today, says God. Enough of this. Yes, you enjoy that coffee and that hobnobs and you like the people, fine. But I want you. I want you to be in a relationship with me. I want your sins dealt with. I want you to come up to heaven with me. I know you've missed the opportunities, but today is your day of salvation. Now is the time. This is His word to you. This is His word to you. We're all sinners. We've all broken God's law, word, none of us keep it. That's what a sinner is. Don't be offended. Well, you can be offended if you like, that doesn't bother me. That's the fact of the matter. We're all sinners. We've broken God's law and commandments. We're in rebellion against our Creator. Can you believe that? You breathe His air, you drink His water, and yet you put two fingers up to Him and you go your own way. How stupid as well as arrogant. And then we complain when God takes the air from our nostrils and brings us to account. How arrogant we are and stupid. Missed opportunities. But you've got an opportunity here this morning. Don't ask me why. I can't figure it out. But yet again, in His grace and mercy, He's arrived here today and He's brought you here. And His hand is held out to you. He says, come on. Come on. It's not too late. It's not too late yet. I'm here for you. He says, I'm here for you. Maybe you thought you were a Christian. You've convinced me. You've duped me, maybe. But you haven't completely surrendered and committed to Jesus Christ. You're beginning to see, perhaps, that you're not the real deal. You thought you were, by virtue of the churches you've gone to, and the religious experiences you've gone through, and the places you've been, and the things you've done, and blah, blah, blah. But you're beginning to see that in the light of God's word, and the reality of living the life of faith, that you actually are not the real deal. I haven't surrendered. I'm more committed to myself than to Him. Well, listen. God says, all right, but now let's do something about this. But now let's get you right. But now you want to see me. You want me. You want my presence. You want to be under new management. But now have me, says God. Back in Psalm 145, we read these words. The Lord helps the fallen and lifts those bent beneath their loads. The Lord is close to all who call on Him. Yes, to all who call on Him in truth. That truth being His holy word, which He's given to us for the purpose of finding Him and being in this relationship with Him. So if on the strength of this, what you're hearing from His word is true, you call upon Him, if you are humbling yourself and you know your need and you want Him and you want the real thing, He says, I'm very close. I'm very close. Will you reach out and take me in? He's here. He's sitting next to you. He's speaking to you. Will you have Him? But now. But now. Not tomorrow. Never mind those opportunities. But now. Yeah, but you don't know my case. You don't know my situation. It's hopeless. Hopeless. It's worse. It's worse. My circumstances, you don't know. Oh, but God does. God does. He knows you inside out. He knows you better than yourself. You could say that's scary, couldn't you? He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows what needs to be changed. And He's going to reveal that to you. And that will be painful. But if you want to be in this real intimate relationship with God, you will submit willingly, because it's going to be for the better. You're going to walk closer with Him. And people are going to see more of Jesus Christ in you and less of self. They're going to hear more of the thoughts and the thinking of Jesus Christ in you and less of your opinions and thoughts. If this is what you want. He can do this, whatever your circumstances, whatever your domestics, whatever your finances, whatever your medics, whatever your situation, I am the Lord God. There is no one else besides me. And He says, but now, whatever you're going through, whatever it is, I know it. I know it. There's even things you're perplexed about that you can't put your finger on. I know it. Look, I'm giving you another opportunity, says God. No matter, it's not hopeless. Jesus came for the helpless and the hapless and the hopeless. He's come for you. And His word for you this morning is this. I'm right here, behind you, and He's tapping you on the shoulder. And He says, quietly, gently, but with a strong love. This is the way. This is the way. Walk in it. walk towards me, walk towards the cross, walk towards my Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the way. This is the way to go. Come to me now. Is he tapping you on the shoulder? Can you feel him tapping you? Can you feel your conscience and your heart and your mind? I want this. I want this. Yes, I've wasted so many opportunities. And it all seems lost, but now. It all seems hopeless, but now. You can see God. You can have him. Under new management, you can leave this place under new management with a new premises, a new heart, a new team. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, possessed by them and owned by them and walking with them. But now, now, there is yet hope for you. There is yet grace available for you. Why won't you take it? Why won't you surrender and submit? What has he got to do to prove to you his love for sinners like you and me? Don't ask me to explain it. I can't understand it. Okay? Most people wouldn't cross the road to give you the time of day, would they? I'm not meaning that as an insult. They wouldn't do it to me either. But Jesus Christ has done more than that. He's left the beauty and the glory of heaven. He chose to be made into a baby and a man to suffer all the indignity and the contradiction and the misunderstanding of people. He put up with all that. He voluntarily allowed himself to be buffeted and bullied and hung on a cross. He allowed himself to go through all that for you. If someone can explain that to me, I would happily receive it. What has he got to do? There we are, full of ourselves, full of our opinions, and off we go in a huff, and we get ourselves into a rat pickle and a mess, and we're caught up in the bramble bushes, and we're bleating and pleading, and still he comes to you. And he comes seeking you, and looking out for you. What God is this? Well, it's not the God of Islam, Hindu or Buddhism, is it? That's for sure. He will even leave, in a figure of speech, the 99 sheep and come and seek out the silly one that's gone its own way. No recriminations. He just takes hold of you and clutches you to himself. This is the love of Jesus Christ. Powerful. Mighty. He could have come down from that cross any time he chose. He could have clicked his fingers and smashed everyone, including the Roman Empire, with a million zillion angels. But he chose not to. He chose not to. But now, he commands all men everywhere to repent and submit and yield and receive such love and grace and mercy. To take away your sin, to make you right with God, to give you a home in heaven. Here is my Saviour, says God, my one and only Son. I was prepared to give him up for the likes of you. And you want to walk away from that? Are you mad? Dear believer, we've been silly sheep at times, haven't we? We want our own way. We want our own opinions. We want our own theories. We want to indulge ourselves. We play around and we get caught up in the thicket. But still he comes after you. Does he not? Does he not? Still he loves you. No recriminations. He's taught you the lesson. Still, He comes and gets you. Such love. Now that's love. Not the mushy tripe that the world peddles. You his lamb. He your lamb. You are covered by his blood. Let's ask and pray for increased desire and devotion for him. He will joyfully bring you home. Let him carry you. You're not going to make it on your own. You're not going to make heaven. You're never going to be good enough. Let him carry you. Fall into his arms. Confess all your sin. Hand it over to him, the Lord. Your soul, your sin, your heart. Surrender and receive his sweet, gracious, tender love and mercy today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have intervened and you have said, but now I am here, but now is your day, but now is your time. But in spite of all your sin, now there is grace. Oh Father, we bend the knee to you now. We ask for your mercy and your goodness and your kindness. Come and save us, come and rescue us, come and change us, make us yours. And even more, make us yours today. We love you, Lord. Help us to love you more and to love you better. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.